Such a powerful song. Amen?
Amen.
Power of the cross. Well, this morning we're looking at the religious leaders where they questioned Jesus in chapter 20 of Luke, verses 20-26. Been going through this particular chapter, chapter 20, which is the things that goes on during the week of the Holy Week. Jesus is confronted, he's tried, he's questioned. They've tried to trap Jesus in many, many different ways. And I was thinking of, as I was sitting there, you know, sometimes the world tries to trap us in questioning our beliefs and our faith and so forth. You know what? We can always back it up, though. Amen? How did Jesus answer people? And those who tempted him, questioned him. He used scriptures. We do the same. And we memorize these scriptures. And not only are they in our mind, but they're in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit, at the right time, will reveal these to us. And we can share it with others. It's our way out of those, what Paul says, you know, he always gives us an answer at the right time, a way out, a way, an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. So if you'll begin with me with verse 20, again, Luke chapter 20, verse 20. Don't have it on the screen today. It's not possible. So they watched him. And they sent spies who pretended to be righteous in order that they might catch him in some statement so that they could deliver him to the rule and to the authority of the governor. They questioned him saying, "Teacher," and that also means rabbi, master, "we know that you speak and teach correctly." Now that should be a giveaway right there. You do it correctly, but they're still questioning. "And you are not partial to any, but teach the way of God in truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to Caesar?" And then they say, "Or not." "But he detected their trickery and said to them, 'Show me a denarius.'" And then that's what a small coin. It was a day's wages in that time. He says, "Show me a denarius whose likeness in inscription does it have?" They said, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were unable to catch him in saying, in the presence of the people, and being amazed at his answer, they were silenced. They became silent. So here we see, during the Holy Week, Jesus entering into Jerusalem. He cleanses the temple because he was using the sanctuary of God, the house of prayer, the house of worship, to make money, exchanging merchandise and things like that. So the leaders now, they step back from a personal trying to discredit the popular teacher. "We know that you're a teacher, right? We know that you teach correctly. Everything you do is correctly." And they hire spies to do their dirty work, hoping to catch Jesus off guard, as the spies are interested in innocent in this. But they hire them. And Christ, though, invades the snare. Because he knows which his enemies lay for him with questions now about money, about taxes. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Well, if we can't get him on one thing, we'll get Jesus on something else. Not Jesus, though. So when you look at this particular passage of Scripture, the plot was to twist Jesus' words in order to accuse him. To accomplish this trickery, the Jewish authority attempt to implicate that Jesus in rebelling against the Roman government. And that was their goal, to trap him. And such charge could lead to his arrest and possible, and we know, on Friday, to his death. And Jesus, however, is aware of their intentions and responds to their questions. But you see, he does it with wisdom, because he has all wisdom. You know what? As we read scriptures and as we gain knowledge through our minds, God created our minds in such a way that we can remember things and recall things. And that's why it's so important as Christians to know the scriptures, to know what Jesus went through and how Jesus was able to answer the smart men of the law, of the religious traits of their religion. He knew it inside and out, but God has all wisdom. He cannot be detained. So such charge could lead to his arrest and his death. So this morning, we want to look at the deception of man, and then verses 20 and 22. So we see that the religious leaders were afraid to do anything to Jesus because of the people. And it says that the scribes and the chief priests, they kind of got stirred up. They got angry at Jesus. Because the previous parable of the attendants had pointed out their pretense and leadership of the future. And that was last Sunday, we talked about that. And the Jewish leaders or authorities will have arrested Jesus on the spot and put him to death, but did not because of the huge popularity of Jesus. See, he was gaining people, their trust, their faith in him. They saw Jesus' compassion. They heard his teaching and knew his teachings were true and they were correct. And even the scribes and the Pharisees, they knew they was correct. The scripture states that. So it's no new thing for bad men to represent themselves just as men and to cover the most wicked projects with the most false and what I would say believable pretense. That's what they were doing. And the plot was to deliver Jesus to the authorities and the jurisdiction of the governor to try to get them on board with the charge of the offense. And they hoped to achieve their objective by inciting the governor against him. So they're trying to get everybody. Do you see that's how it works? They go behind the scene and they work and let everybody else do their dirty work and try to get the chief of the leaders, the governor, on board as well. So they appear to ask sincere questions. You ever notice that? They try to be so sincere and innocent in their questions in order to set a trap for Jesus. It doesn't work that way. And the intentional question is introduced with flattery, hoping to throw Jesus off guard. They wasn't using wisdom, were they? not very well at all. So the plot was to deliver him to the authorities. Now, they described him correctly as an impartial teacher, the teacher of truth. And he was. They had that right on the spot. But their motive was deception. And this misleading flattery is the same as when they called Jesus a great teacher, a great prophet, but disbelieved his claims to be the true Messiah. Now they set a trap by pretending, again, to ask in an innocent way, questioning Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. The trickery still goes on and on and on. In order to make him lose favor with the people or to even gain suspicion of the Romans, then they raise this question about the annual pro-tax imposed on the Jews by the Romans. They was kind of enforcing that. They was all on board with this. Now, to pay potax meant simply to give Caesar back which belonged to him. And of course, we know all about that, don't we? We all pay taxes. We do. And it's much needed to run a country, to run anything today. We give back, but you know what? We give back to the Lord first, what he has given us. And then all the others, whatever's left, it goes in its respective places. So God's image is stamped on us. God's image is stamped on our lives. Now, the reason I'm saying this, therefore, he has the right to command our lives as citizens to his kingdom. I want you to think about that very seriously this morning. We should seek to be such good citizens that God will be glorified and the unsaved will be attracted to the gospel of Jesus Christ and want to become a Christian. You see, that's what Jesus, the picture that Jesus was painting. He was open and listening to them to gain their confidence, even though he knew in the background their deceitfulness, their hearts. Now, we talked about the deceitfulness of man. Now, from 23 verses 23 through 26, tells us of Jesus' discernment. It tells us how Jesus knows all things. And I'm glad he knows all things, aren't you? And he reveals that to us. And the Holy Spirit today works in our lives that same way when we are questioned or when we maybe don't know the right answer. It could be spiritual or biblical, or it could be any questions. But God gives us the mind to be able to comprehend and discern the truth when needed. And Jesus always had the right answers always at the right time. So Jesus sees through the most skillful disguises and to avoid the most dangerous plans. See, from the very beginning, Jesus knew why he came to earth, and he knew what he was going to be encountering. All this was in preparation and in course of his death. And he did not give them a direct answer, but a teachable lesson. Think about that. He was teaching them a lesson. Jesus called for a piece of money that they were using, then asked whose money was, whose stamp it's bored. Whose coin is this? And they reached into their handbags. I can just see them doing that. They just reached down in their pockets and pulled out one, and they owned it. And they said, it's Caesar's money. Yes, good answer. They used Caesar's money among themselves and let it be instrument of their commerce and their business, just like our nation, our country today. By common consent, they are obligated to Caesar's, as we are obligated to our community, to our township, to our nation, to our state. So according to the text, Jesus gave a human government, Caesar, a legitimate role in the divine government of the creation. And Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 13, how our obligation is to our government. And so does Peter. And Jesus was saying, yes, pay your taxes. Yes, pay back what is Caesar's. And honor God does not mean refusing to pay taxes. That doesn't mean that at all. By their common consent obligation, they use Caesar's money as an instrument of their commerce. Now, not a mention of relative orderly society, good roads, courts, peace, or prosperity. Therefore, they must render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Now, through it was an unasked for Jesus added another thought, the most important one that I see right here in the scripture. Jesus qualified his yes by drawing a distinction between what is due to Christ and what is due to God, or what's due to Caesar's. Jesus distinguished between the realm of authority of the state and the authority of God. And you see, God has all authority. And that's why Jesus said, give unto Caesar, or give back to Caesar what is his, but don't leave God out. Because he's the one that give it to us all. He's the reason that we have it in order that we can pay back. And he was telling that to them. You see, all of this was going down during the Holy Week. Any way to trap Jesus started back at when he came into Jerusalem. The money exchangers, the attendants, the servants going out and being mistreated. And now they've tried to trap him with what Caesar's. Caesar's, he's in charge. No. He might rule the people of the city, of the town, and the commerce and things like that, but not the kingdom of God. And we know who does that. The Bible says, and Paul said, that we must obey God rather than men. When a conflict occurs between what government demands and what God commands, we obey God. As long as, you know, authority or rules and laws are given, and they don't coincide, they don't go against God's word, then we are to do it. The Bible says, you know, and even Paul says, pray for your nation, pray for your kings, pray for your rulers in high places and so forth. But yet, be true to God. Be true to him. So when we look at this particular scripture, then we prepare our hearts for Palm Sunday next Sunday, and as Easter quickly occurs, Jesus says to make a choice between a questioner's option is to be basic and to show, and there's two sides of the coin. We have to live in both worlds. We have to, our duty to our nation, however we interpret that, and we belong to God. He owns us. We must live responsible with both loyalties. We have to do that. That's our responsibility. That's our Christian duty, to be loyal in our environment, in our nation, but mainly we are to be true to God. And Jesus distinguishes his answer silent. He silenced the spies, and he silenced the Sanhedrin. Interestingly, the religious leaders used this incident against Jesus also, as we will see, in his trial. And that's in chapter 22, verse 2, in the next chapter over, or three chapters over. But they totally misrepresented his position and charging that Jesus opposed the payment taxes to Caesar, and that wasn't. Jesus said, I didn't to come to abolish the law, but do what? Fulfill it. And he actually fulfilled his responsibility in doing that. So in the attempt to trap Jesus, the religious leaders only reveal Jesus' wisdom, not theirs. He set the principle down, and that emperor or the political authority is to receive his due, but there's another, the creator. And I could go through the list of God's names, but sustainer of heaven and earth, who alone is to receive man's worship and also to honor God with our lives. So in this message here this morning, I want us to see Jesus himself and how he demonstrated his deity, and yet in his flesh, being questioned and going to the cross, Jesus demonstrated that he is wiser than anyone on this earth, any leadership, any high authority. Jesus is wiser than the wisest of men. Now, when you think the wisest man that's ever walked on this earth, who you think about? Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom, but he had no wisdom compared to Jesus. No one does. So, he knows God's ways. Jesus knew God's ways. Jesus didn't do anything except what the Heavenly Father told him to do. The Father gave him the wisdom. He had wisdom because he is God himself, God-man. So God's ways are higher than man's ways, as God's understanding is greater than mankind. What such wisdom. You know, we can't even comprehend sometimes the things of God's perspective. But God gives us the insights through his word to be able to comprehend at the right time in answering what is right, what is wrong in our world and our systems today. We all are to give an account, and we all are to honor, just like Jesus did. But yet, the Heavenly Father, he is to be most honored in our lives. Let us pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that you give that the four Gospels, the writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the insight of the synoptic Gospels in order that we might just see everything just revealed through Jesus' life, the perfect example of how we are to live our lives and how we are to respond to situations in our life. And we encounter many, many different situations. We are always, you know, under the microscope, it seems like, as Christians today. And may we stand strong in our convictions when it comes to the laws of the land, but yet may we respect and do our part in upholding the laws of the land, as long as they don't contradict your word. And we are able to discern that. The closer we walk with you and more we read and study your word and get the insights of the Holy Spirit working in and through our hearts and our minds, our soul, our body, the better we will be like Jesus and his responses. But yet, did it in such a compassionate way to draw men in, not to turn them away. And Jesus said, I didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but the world might know me and be saved. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you personally, they can know Jesus in the scriptures, in our text today. But we know he cares and loves each one of us and wants us to be a part of the kingdom of God. So, Lord, your Holy Spirit, I know, is always at work. You're working in each one of our lives right now in some way, some area, in the areas of our weaknesses, and you're motivating us in our strength to be even more productive in our witness for you. You know our hearts, you know our minds. You have the all wisdom, and Lord, just reveal to each one of us this day our part, our purpose in your kingdom. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.